All right, this is it. The final hour of the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan on your Good Friday. Let's have a good finish to the show, Justin, before we go and sit on the couch and watch some
Corey,
rainy
have a good
golf.
Weekend.
Have a good weekend. Our next guest, superstar, legendary status.
A-list.
A-list celebs only. Our insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online. In the showroom, visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. You know him as Nick Kyprios, former NHL forward, Stanley Cup champion, co-host of Real Kipper and Bourne, but also best friend of Bill Burr. What is going on, Kipper? You run in some crazy circles, I tell you.
You know I'm way more comfortable with you two than I would ever be with someone like that.
What?
You look pretty comfortable,
Kipper. Give us the scoop, man. I've been waiting a week to talk to you about this.
This is old, isn't it?
No, bring it up again. I don't care.
I went to Ottawa on the weekend, got invited to answer some questions for a few people, and ended up in the owner's box, Eugene Melnyk's box.
As you do.
That is used, by the company, the Ottawa Senators, and there's Bill Burr. I ended up talking to his security guy or manager, and Bill's a huge hockey fan. And lo and behold, big fan of the 94 Stanley Cup champion New York Rangers. So that's how the conversation kind of got started. And in all honesty, as normal as any guy that you'll ever see, let alone one of the best comedians in the world. And he loves his hockey, loves his history of hockey, dating back to the battles between Colorado and Detroit, Islander days, big fan of Justin's father-in-law, Clark Gillies, all of it, loves all of it,
wow.
And was right into the game.
Is he going to be a regular on the show now or what?
You know what? Between Gord Stellick and,
JD
know, a few
Bunkus.
Others, I don't know if we can fit him in.
That's right. Hot commodity, though. That was pretty cool, Kipper. I can't wait to see who you rub shoulders with next. All right. We got eyes on you in every rink.
Listen,
now.
Bill Burr's listening to us right now going, how lucky is Kipper that he gets to hang out with Justin and Ailish?
Oh, that's so sweet. It's a good Friday indeed. Okay, last night, Maple Leafs lose an OT to the Boston Bruins. Justin and I broke it down before he had you on as maybe a dress rehearsal or a litmus test, is our favorite saying on the show, for a little bit of a playoff-esque type of energy. Is that how you saw it as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And let's give the guys credit here. No one's limping in to the playoffs here. They're playing hard. I'm watching... the corner of my eye, the Detroit Buffalo game last night, and they'll want to kill Skinner at the end of the game, and they're playing hard, and they're two non-playoff teams. So, we're watching Tampa Bay battle the Rangers, and then again last night the Islanders, and guys are getting hurt. And, we saw last night Charlie McAvoy not finish the game. Guys are playing hard, which is great, and... really whetting the appetite for those playoffs.
So in terms of like the playoff feel, yeah, it was a tight game. It had some playoff feel. It was physical. Maybe it wasn't at the extent that we've seen from, the Panthers and Senators last night, but they're getting there. However, I take a little exception in the full dress rehearsal thing, because to me, Marner, Tavares, Nylander, that's not happening in the postseason, is it?
Yeah, not sure what's happening. Justin, to be honest with you, with the lines, at least the first two lines, it's so funny. So much has been made of the Leafs trying to get the third and fourth lines right most of the season. And then they go to the trade deadline and they're looking pretty good again last night. And now the concerns on your first two lines. So I would think that, and I would hope that it's an easier fix between now and game one. Still on your first two lines, because you got some very talented people up there. But finding the chemistry has been a challenge here. And last night's another example. It was not a game last night where the Stars took over. This was a meat and potatoes game. And it's almost as if the Stars canceled each other out because, you know, watching last night, Brad Marchand, I can't recall a game where I think I've seen him worse, or at least maybe worse isn't the right word, maybe frustrated. Every decision that he made is almost wrong. And, you know, he's searching for his game right now. But, you know, collectively, I think all those Stars last night went 0-for-7 on the power play. I know the game-winning goal in overtime was with Riley just coming out of the box. But the flow was not in favor of the Stars last night.
Yeah, that was a game for the depth pieces for sure. And if we're looking at Toronto's depth pieces, many of whom came over via trade, of course, we had that busy trade deadline. But I guess the more impactful guys, like Sam, it was at the Sam Lafferty game. I mean, Zach Aston-Reese has been playing quite well lately. Nola Chari getting back in the lineup recently and definitely showing his value. We talk about like the Leafs that were brought in to help change the identity or help address issues with this team. Do we feel more comfortable, more positive about what the Lafferty, Achari, what they can bring in these big spots? Because if we're looking at anything real from last night, I don't think we saw it, honestly, in the top six. But I think we saw some real contribution in the bottom six and stuff that we could see as repeatable when the playoffs do roll around.
Yeah, without a doubt. 100%. When I heard that Lafferty was going to join the Leafs, that was the one guy I thought that they can come in. Achari's been terrific as well, but both these guys have skill, really good hockey skill. Lafferty's, no question, is he can skate. And in today's game, if you can't skate, you can't play. And then he's not scared to get his nose dirty, go to the net hard. You know, the check. And then the fight last night are things that you need to do to answer the bell. Tons of respect he had a challenge, and I thought it was a bad decision by the Boston Bruins, and I think it was AJ Greer who challenged him off of what should have been just deemed a good check. But that's a decision he made. He ended up getting a 2-5 and a 10. And I thought it helped set a tone for the Leafs. And when you factor in Achari also plays hard, and we're watching him finish checks on a penalty kill and get some licks on some good players from the Boston Bruins, that all that stuff just adds up. And, you know, when you have two guys like that, it ripples in your lineup. And Aston-Reese has gone to another level because he's playing with guys that have taken him to another level. And he's really benefiting from the added depth on the bottom six. But the ripple effect has to go through the whole lineup, just not half the lineup. And we're not seeing it yet trickle down to the first or second line, and those guys are going to have to find a way to get a lot more involved emotionally, physically, because last night again they didn't bring it. Tavares, Nylander, to a lesser extent Matthews, Marner, they're going to have to find their game here in the next week.
Maybe a little of that can be due to the fact that they had a new body in the lineup. Brian O'Reilly, after 14 games, made his return to the Leafs. What'd you make of his first step back into a pretty big test against the Boston Bruins, and with the four games remaining, how they try to utilize him best?
Well, his presence, first of all, the way he carries himself, the way he handles himself on and off the ice, he is a true leader out there, and it may take a little bit of time. You know, the one thing that it's kind of noticeable even last night was face-offs. Patrice Bergeron, you know, just owned most of the night in the face-off circle. I'm not sure I would have started Ryan O'Reilly in overtime off a face-off coming off a broken finger. He loses the draw to Patrice Bergeron, and the next thing you know, the Leafs are chasing, and then Morgan Riley takes the penalty. But, you know, I mean, outside of that, and I'm nitpicking, trust me, he's gonna add so much. And again, once you have him in the lineup, it gives you a better opportunity to play around on those first two lines. And that's up to Sheldon now. Sheldon's going to have to find it real quickly as early as this weekend and just really settle in on those lines. But we know what Ryan O'Reilly can bring them, and it's a welcomed addition at this point of the season.
Just with the lineup, because I don't know, maybe we all agree that Tavares, Nylander, Marner doesn't make all that much sense, whether we do or not. I feel like yesterday was more about, hey, let's look at what Matthew's doing on the top line and let's see what O'Reilly looks like with his line. Do you think it's like, okay, you kind of a little bit of a showcase. They're still obviously trying to find their way. Sheldon's trying to get the right lineups in place. But do you think it was like, okay, let's see Matthews in isolation because they've been toying with, you know, the Yarncroke Bunting thing, and let's see Riley as that proper third-line center. Do you think, like, we're still in the process, and do you see it the same way I did, where it's like Sheldon Keefe just wants to see these two things before making the adjustment, and the adjustment will be through the second line, whether it's moving Marner up, moving Nylander down, or what, or maybe moving O'Reilly into the second line? Just how do you see the top nine shaking out and what maybe is the best look for Sheldon Keefe moving forward here?
Yeah, I think he's just going to have to load up, I think, on his first two lines. And again, I'm watching last night, and there's not a playoff world for me that exists with Yarncroke and Bunting for Austin Matthews. And again, if you want short spurts here and there, then Yarncroke can move up and down the lineup. But to have him definitively out there riding shotgun with Austin Matthews will not work. That was a physical game. You need a guy that can create lanes and push and lean. And right now, Bunting and Yarncroke cannot do that. So that kind of puts him in a predicament for Sheldon moving forward here. And ultimately, you know, who's going to drive it for Austin? And when it's all said and done, when the backs are against the wall, and when Sheldon's back is against the wall, I don't see anybody on Austin's line other than 16.
Which will put the onus on Nylander and Tavares to figure it out, because that didn't happen last year in the playoffs in round one versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. So we'll see. Yeah, you know, maybe Ryan O'Reilly is sort of the trump card, the piece that he can play to change the dynamic a little bit. But Mitch and Austin, if they're playing together, that means the others have to figure it out. Sheldon Keefe had the whip cracked a little bit yesterday after the goal by Charlie Coyle. I don't think Luke Schenn saw the ice again. It was his failed clearance attempt that sort of set up that opportunity for Boston. And I think William Nylander only got one more shift after that point. So two guys not seeing much time down the stretch. And it's interesting because those two, if you juxtapose Nylander and Schenn, like, they're two different guys. Like, Sheldon Keefe will often go to the punishment for Nylander to get him going, even though it hasn't really worked in the last couple weeks. But Schenn is a different story, right? Schenn being sat is more interesting to me because I think it points to the fact that Sheldon Keefe doesn't trust him, or at least didn't trust him in that situation last night. When you look at those two coaching decisions, what do you glean from those two instances?
Well, first of all, Luke Schenn is going to give you everything he has, and he can't give you something that he doesn't have. And unfortunately, at times it's foot speed and, you know, the ability to move laterally. I felt bad for him on that play. You can see that his first thought is, do not fire this puck into the stands. And he put it into a place, unfortunately, that Carlo was able to keep the puck in. But then you look at the bigger picture, Justin, and where are the forwards? And, you know, there's a good reason why Willie Nylander only played a shift after that, is because he just gave him no help. He hung him out to dry in terms of allowing him other options except the one that he took. And, you know, it's a team effort. It's a team loss. It's a team bad decision. It should not fall on Luke Schenn himself. And, you know, this is when games are on the line. It's 1-0. You're in the third period, and third periods have not been kind to the Leafs. And just those bad decisions, including blowing the zone. Austin Matthews is arguably one of the best defensive players that the Leafs have in his own zone. We know he can go in there and get a puck out himself. He can steal pucks. He can strip pucks. I can't even find him in my television screen. He's gone. He's blown the zone. And now you've left Willie Nylander down there. That's what I don't want. I need Austin Matthews in the zone and not leaving until the puck comes out. So these are collective mistakes by the Toronto Maple Leafs that they're going to have to clean up. That's a playoff moment right there where you look back and you say, hey, we had this game, and this is where we let it slip.
So the teammates let Shen down in that moment, but you mentioned it too. Like, there are some issues there. Boston's the next challenge. Hopefully they get to that challenge. When it comes to Tampa Bay, is he better suited for that series than he may be against a Bruins team that may be a little bit faster, maybe a little bit more of a challenge for him?
Yeah, Justin, I don't mind the Leafs against the Bruins. I think they kind of match up okay. It's for whatever reason, they're always in games, and it's close. And, you know, we know that Toronto will have to get by Tampa first to see a Boston Bruin team. But, you know, last night was one of those games where I think I can watch the Boston Bruins and say, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe it's not as easy as it was for 75 games, because, you know, they were fighting it last night, and it's not always going to go their way. And I think last night was an example where they were a little frustrated, and the Leafs were able to kind of hang in there. I would welcome watching Toronto and Boston, and I think it would be a 6 or 7 game series for sure. They match up better than people think, I think, Toronto and Boston.
Yeah, certainly looked like a playoff game last night. We'd hope to see that in a couple weeks.
Yeah, just one note too is, you know, Samsonov has to be the Leaf best player.
For sure.
He was last night, and he gave them an opportunity, and him and Swayman were absolutely two of the best players on the ice.
Matthew Nyes has an opportunity to win the NCAA championship tomorrow. Their favorites on the weekend. But once he's done with that, we expect to see him here in Toronto quite soon. We did have Elliot talk about his contract question just a little bit, not sign for alarm or cause for alarm or anything, but just that there's some details that need to be worked out. Two-part question is that going to happen as seamlessly as we, I guess, expect? We just kind of thought he'd roll right in. And secondly, where's his spot on this team? Because as you mentioned like a couple questions ago, that bottom six is shaping up quite nicely, and it's more of a question about how to fit that top six together.
Yeah, that's that will be interesting. But you've got some throwaway games. And even if it means, you know, taking Michael Bunting out of the lineup for a game, you just don't know. And Michael's struggling. He's in a place right now where the points aren't coming, and now he's caught between a rock and a hard place when it comes to how physical he wants to get involved, or how much, like, he's totally lost that ability to get under people's skin. And part of that is, you know, getting in their face and chirping a little bit. And, you know, he's gone from one extreme to the other, and I'm not sure he's got to find that nice middle, right? Mm. Where he's not jeopardizing, you know, the team and the concept of the team, and yet he can still do his thing. So he's searching a little bit. It'll be real interesting to see what happens once he joins the team, and we think it's going to happen. And I know Elliot's talking about the bonuses. That's an interesting thing, because there is a component of signing a contract that goes around A and B bonuses and what that means to the salary cap even next year, which is on a flat cap. And they've got challenges next year on their cap with guys needing new contract, including Samsonov, might I add. So we'll see how this thing plays out the rest of the week. But tough decisions for Sheldon coming down down the stretch here.
So removing Knies from the equation here, because we'll see how that factors in. I think he'll come into a game that is considered less important, because I don't think they're going to go full bore for the next four games and the remainder of the schedule. But how would you chart out the path forward here? Like, it feels like out of the four games, there needs to be one that's a real dress rehearsal with, like, lines that we're going to see in game one. I don't know if it has to match the intensity, but you at least have to figure out what you're going to be, and you have to see it at least once in action, because I frankly don't think we've seen that yet. So we got the Canadian Saturday night. We got a back-to-back Florida and Tampa Bay in Florida, and then the Rangers on the road on Thursday to close out the season. Are you circling one as the game where it's like, Sheldon, put your best out there. Let's see how it looks in real time.
Well, I see Montreal on the weekend, and you're at home, and you've got today to regroup. I don't know whether or not he's going to end up sitting three or four guys Saturday. I'd be careful with it. If you go back last week, you know, the decision to take Marner out of the lineup, and then now you've watched, you know, Columbus and Boston, and you know, he's not great. He hasn't been great since he's come back off that rest. And you're just wondering, you know, where guys sit on that. And rhythm's important, and feeling good's important. So Tampa Bay, are there any players left? Did they all get hurt last night for Tampa Bay? That's a decision on you want to show all your cards against Tampa Bay next Tuesday? Or do you back that game off and then go into New York on the last game of the season and say, okay, I'm dressing my full lineup. So tough decisions. It's a feel thing. There's no right or wrong, Justin, on any of this. It's just a matter of, hey, pick your poison and live with it, you know?
Yeah, I don't think there's an easy answer to that question, because you probably want to give Samsonov the night off against Montreal. Maybe you don't necessarily have to, but it feels like maybe that's a little early for the dress rehearsal. Maybe the Rangers a little late, and I don't know what you want to show in Florida and in Tampa Bay. I don't know what you want. I don't know how they're going to approach Tampa Bay at all, because they might be a little bit salty after losing a couple of guys. Are they going to try to, you know, get a pound of flesh themselves in that game? I'd be a little bit nervous about that one. I'd be a little nervous about the Sunrise game as well, because Florida's playing really hard and they're playing really physical, and it's knock them down, drag them out. At least it was last night with the Tkachuk brothers. So yeah, how would you approach the Tampa game? Because that one is a little bit more interesting now that, you know, Corey Perry's out there taking numbers and they are dropping like flies from a health perspective.
Well, I tell you what, if you get a showing and an effort from Samsonov like you did last night in Boston in Tampa, I don't think it's a bad thing for Samsonov to play in Tampa. You know, he's the guy, and if he's feeling it and you want him to play, do you want him to play 3 out of 4 or 2 out of 4? You know, he's not, we know he's going to play one of Florida and Tampa Bay. The question is, do you want him to go Montreal, Florida, and off in Tampa? Or do you want him to go, Montreal and Tampa and skip Florida? So, I like Samsonov right now. I like his game. I like where he's at. I don't think you need to protect him if you feel like, he's feeling it right now. And again, last night, terrific. No problem at all showing your cards against Boston, and you may see them in the second round. Samsonov's your top player right now. You don't need to protect him.
No, you might need to protect him from Corey Perry against the Lightning. I'd be a little bit concerned about putting him out there just because they know how important Ilya Samsonov might be. Not saying they're going
to
do anything, but just saying I might be a little bit extra careful.
That. You got Lafferty and Achari.
That's right true. Now. They got some bodies back there right now that can deal with things. Maybe the times have changed for the Maple Leafs. We will see if that is indeed the case when the playoffs finally start in 10 days. And we'll break it down and tee it up next week with you. Kipper, we appreciate you coming on this morning.
Always my favorite time of the week.
There you go. Even better than a Bill Burr conversation. That's Nick Kiprios, co-host of Real Kipper and Bourne, of course, Stanley Cup champion, and our insider, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
Man, that Tampa game, it could...
I'm not starting Samsonov in Tampa. I'm not doing it.
But think about the confidence if he has a baller game and he shuts down the Lightning and we see him game one and he's riding the high.
Maybe I'm glass half empty, but that's the second half of a back-to-back. Tampa's got to be, you know, kind of freaking out a little bit. Are they going to be extra physical? Are they going to be sending messages? I feel like that game is going to be, I can just like
sense. Think there'll be a little bit of chaos in the crease.
I feel like there's going to be chaos and I don't want Samsonov anywhere near it. I really don't.
Yeah, but look at Florida last night.
If you're down to Joe Woll, like Joe Woll's been great. But if you're down to Joe Woll in the playoffs because something happens, because you played Samsonov against that team and you got Corey Perry,
the same thing could happen against
elbows and knees
Florida.
Around, I might sit him out both those games, honestly.
Okay, bubble wrap.
I might go Montreal Rangers for timing purposes with Samsonov. Mm-hmm. If it's the Rangers gives you, you know, you're getting as close to the line so the rust thing doesn't factor in. Montreal, I just think, you know, it's a Saturday night, whatever. It's a big spot. You're going to get good work. And then you just kind of avoid what could be a messy situation.
But we talked
in Florida
about this last week. If he plays tomorrow and he doesn't play against Florida or Tampa, he plays 7 days later. That's a long time, Justin.
No, I want Saturday, next Thursday, 5 days between. That's nice rest. Mm-hmm. And then he's starting again, you know, a couple days later when the playoffs roll around.
Okay. So we will play, you think, play him tomorrow. Then.
He's going to play once in Florida, probably. Yeah. I'm going to be a little bit worried during that
start.
I mean,
you could be worried about legitimately anybody getting in a scuffle with both of these teams,
but
right?
But Samsonov's the most vulnerable position, the most important player. I don't know. Maybe this is just like weird anxiety, but I just feel like I'm going to be holding my butt during that game.
Where's Keith Petruzzelli when you need him?
You might need to earn that NHL money by actually playing a good NHL
here.
Game.
Get him up.
Joe
here.
Woll, earn that $700,000. Give us back to back in Florida.
All right. Well, we got lots of tee up in the wake and rake. Masters update, they're underway now. Jays and Angels start the series. Raptors Celtics, second game in 2 days between those two. Canada and Czechia. Tonight, Frozen Four, I got lines for that. Minnesota is heavy favorites. Mm-hmm. And Leafs Lightning Series, you have the preview of that?
Yeah, I think we should look at that.
All right, holy smokes, lots to do. Send in your Wake and Rake picks at 590-590. I know a lot of people are not en route to work this morning, so we don't have too many to run through, but you got some time at 590-590. Grab a couple picks, make our anchor pick for the Wake and Rake, and we'll try to have a good, profitable Friday to kick off your weekend.
Everything you need to know about the Blue Jays, Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
A lot to tee up this Wake and Rake for the weekend ahead. We got Masters, got Raps, Blue Jays, Frozen Four, Women's Worlds, UFC.
It's a bit of an alt situation, though. Like, no NHL games tonight?
That's pretty crazy.
No meaningful NBA games either.
So if you opened up the NBA lines and didn't realize that it's April and you looked at some of these, it is absolutely crazy. Like some of these favorites and these dogs.
Yeah, you could lose a lot of money just blindly betting.
You could get super fired up to make big bucks on dogs tonight. But just let me tell you.
It is load management
injury
season.
Injury report season because there's some spicy, spicy money line. Like the Bucks being plus 250.
They're sitting everyone.
Our Beam team plus 250. You're like, come on. Suns plus 300. It just looks very enticing. Sixers plus 380 against the Hawks. You're just like, come on.
I guess the Sixers aren't helping out the Raptors, eh?
No.
Plus 380.
Not even close. But, you know, maybe one of those hints, but I would take pause before you see the dirty dogs of the day and think that you're going to make $1 million because injury report season is very important when it comes to the NBA. And there's some enticing lines, but just don't get too horned up about it.
It's a light day in terms of Wake and Rake submissions. So if you are listening live, don't be afraid to send a few in. We got a few, but, you know, we could use a few more because it's a light day. Everyone's in their Good Friday routine, it seems.
Right.
So, if you're up, get them in and we'll discuss them. But for now, let's discuss something that won't involve any load management. And that's round one between the Toronto Maple Leafs and Tampa Bay Lightning. Series prices are up. It's the only series, I believe, that is set, unless something changed last night that I'm not aware of. Mm. But if it's set, we're going to have lines. And guess what, Ailish? We are betting on every series. You and I. Or at least I am.
Can I tell you what I'm going to do as well?
For what?
Series predictions.
Okay. Tell me.
Bunker's bracket.
Ooh.
Bunker, my puppy, is going to determine the outcome of every series.
Oh,
by running to two treats. Now I'll have a treat with, you know, Maple Leafs on it and a treat with Tampa Bay Lightning.
Okay.
And we'll release the hounds and he will run to one of them and that will be the winner of the series.
Can I try to beat Bunker?
Yeah, we'll post Bunker's bracket online and all the video behind it and how cute he is when he runs towards treats.
A little content play there.
A little content play. And we will have Bunker's bracket. We'll see how accurate this genius pop of mine is.
There we go. I like it.
Little Bunker's bracket.
That's perfect.
Stay tuned. But once we get the team set, I'll make that and we'll get a lot of treats.
So we're going to have all the bases covered. We will bet every series. We'll have Bunker's pick for every series. We're going to be locked in and ready to go. And we're going to get more firmed up series as we go through the weekend here. Hopefully we'll have a couple more to talk about. But we got Leafs Lightning to talk about right now. Now, things have changed a little bit. The place where I originally saw it doesn't have it anymore. Guess what? Lightning going through some injury issues. However, there is one book I found that does have it. The Maple Leafs are -134 favorites to win the series versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. There is no spread, and that's kind of my game. I like the series spreads. Wow. I like to deal with the series spreads. That's not available right now, at least where I'm looking. First, we'll just do a first impression. -134. Are you going to lay -134 to play the Toronto Maple Leafs this year?
No, but I have had this sentence in my head with legitimately no reason behind it. Leafs in five. I just keep saying Leafs in five in my head. It's weird.
You're going for a sweat-free round one, eh?
I don't know why, Justin.
Mm-hmm.
It's like something is speaking to me from the darkness, and it is scary. But I just keep hearing it echoing.
You want to know the price on Leafs in five?
I do.
+520. Because it's in your head, I think you have to play it.
For some reason, it's in my head, and it could be the worst thing I've ever said on the radio. But Leafs in five, I'm telling you, something about it. Obviously, we'll have to preview this officially when this is all set, but I woke up with a little whispering of it.
And we'll have both official and unofficial previews. We're going to bust out the tarot cards again next week.
Maybe the tarot cards are speaking to me from my bedside table.
Maybe we'll throw that question into the universe, the 4-1 series victory through the tarot cards
crazy.
To see how accurate it may be.
It's so far-fetched, but I don't know.
Here's how I'm going to approach betting this series. I'm going to be taking the Leafs -1.5 for sure to either win in 4, 5, or 6 games. I think it's their time. I think Tampa's beat up. I think all those factors apply. I think the Maple Leafs are going to have a cathartic moment at some point over the next few weeks. They are going to get through the Tampa Bay Lightning, in my opinion. But I don't think they will if it goes to a game 7. So I'm going to lay a couple markers down. One being the Leafs on the spread, and you're going to get plus money on that, maybe +130-ish, I would guess. But I'm also going to put this down as well. Leafs to win in 7 is +540. I think you want to be holding that ticket if you're a Leafs fan as just a little bit of a worst-case scenario happiness hedge.
But we're all over the Leafs here.
The most likely outcome, I still think, is the Leafs to win.
Yeah.
But if it goes to a Game 7, I don't know how, if you're a Toronto Maple Leaf, that you're not going to be a little bit nervous, a little bit hard-pressed to be at your best in a Game 7 once again. The Game 7 nightmares, it's been something that they can't escape. I feel like they got to win the series before it gets to a Game 7. So if you're a Leaf fan, you might be happy you grabbed +540 when you did. So those are the two ways I'm going to be playing this series. Leafs on the spread at plus money, and then a little marker at the end, a little something to keep you at least not from, you know, completely losing your mind, a +540 Lightning in 7 games. That's how I'm going to be betting this series. We'll do this for all 8 first-round series. I guess we got 7 more to go.
We'll do a bracket challenge, too.
That sounds good.
All we do on the show is community bracket challenges. We'll have another one.
I like how we're going up against Bunker this time.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he's never watched one playoff series in his life. He has no idea.
I guarantee he hasn't.
He has certainly not. And he will watch them all. and he will predict them all, and you can play along with Bunker. Okay. All right. Thanks for the futures look at Leafs Lightning. We'll do that, as you mentioned, for all of the series once they're determined, but no NHL tonight. I think that the Calgary Flames have a huge game tomorrow, right? Like, they got another big one they have to win. I don't know how many other games are, how many other teams. I know there's a few wild card looks right now, but Seattle Kraken clinched the playoffs in their second season. That's pretty incredible. That was last night. I'm thinking that there's a couple this weekend that are must tune into's in terms of playoff standings.
Yeah, the second game on Hockey Night in Canada Saturday night is Calgary in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. They're all must wins for Calgary right now. Last night, in terms of meaningful results, I mean, the Penguins got a big win over the Minnesota Wild, broke up our Wake and Rake parlay, unfortunately. Yeah. The Islanders got a big win over the Lightning, 6-1. So all the teams that need to win, the Predators beat the Hurricanes, they needed to win, they won. Dallas Stars won. Vegas Golden Knights beat the Kings. The only team really in playoff contention that lost was the Kings, and it was to the Golden Knights. So everyone kind of held serve last night in terms of teams that needed to win. But the focus really is on what's happening in Winnipeg, Calgary. That's the best storyline coming down in the stretch of the season. Who's going to make the playoffs between those two?
Lots to take a look at this weekend. Okay, quick Masters update. So our pools were set yesterday, and I'm feeling like we did a pretty good job at predicting, you know, some, not sleepers, but some guys that were a little bit not out of the top tier, right? Like Hovland, you've got Cam Young's up there, Lowry, right?
Brooks Koepka.
Brooks Koepka, of course, your live guy. So looking good today. I was wondering if you had any second round leader thoughts, because as we mentioned, the weather is a bit shaky today. I'm not even sure if they're going to be able to finish, but if you're going to look at something for today in the Masters, you got anything?
Yeah, you can still play end around leader stuff. I think you can actually do that all day live. Today's a weird day, though. I mean, I think if you're choosing anyone, it's got to be someone who's out on the course right now or about to start imminently. I bet on Sam Burns and Gary Woodland to win the tournament this morning when I got here, just because they have the benefit of playing this morning and they played well yesterday. We mentioned in the top block that if you're not Tiger Woods and you're not in the top 10 after the first round of the Masters, you do not win. So if you want to just look at the top 10 right now, there's obviously big names on the top 10, including, as you mentioned, Hovland, Koepka, Cameron Young, but also fit in there, Shoffley, Woodland, Sam Burns, Scottie Scheffler, of course, as well. So if you look a little bit down the board, you've got plus or 25-1 for Sam Burns. You got a 66-1 for Gary Woodland right now, a 50-1 for Adam Scott, who's in the top 10 and has won this tournament before, 20-1 Xander Shoffley. If you're looking to take a shot on some long money, don't go too far down the board because it's very, very difficult to make up ground. However, with the weather the way it is, maybe all bets are off, and someone who could just deal with today and deal with the entire weekend can take advantage, as, you know, maybe the treacherous weather wreaks havoc on the guys who actually got off to a good start yesterday.
Okay, I'm in the same boat with some of the guys that I circled for today, at least. What I've placed today is Shane Lowry, best score today, and also just to be the leader. I know those are two different picks, but
I like that. Best score for Shane Lowry.
Best score today.
Talking about that earlier, you know, he's a guy who knows how to play in bad weather. He's an Irish lad who has dealt with bad weather his whole life, keeps the ball flight down, knows how to deal with winds. So I think that's a decent play. And he's out there, I believe, in the morning as well. So he'll get the benefit of playing with when the weather's not at its worst.
And I also did the same two bets for Gary Woodland. Best score today and also leader. So, like, you know, one of them could be, you could get both, really. But just sprinkles on those guys. I did do as well a Gary Woodland Masters Championship pick as well today. So, I did sprinkle.
The vibes are going to be high if Gary Woodland's Masters Champion on Monday morning.
I did do a best score today of Colin Morikawa as well.
Okay.
So those are my places.
He'll also be off in the morning.
Yeah. So I thought anyone in the morning that might get an opportunity to get a good round in before it gets pretty gross out there. Those are just my little sprinkles for today's Masters picks. I'll give you my Wake and Rake pick just to tee this up as well. Canada and Czechia play in the Women's Worlds today. I did not get off to the prolific start in my Women's World Championship selections, so I'm going back to the well. I'm going over 6.5 in Canada and the Czech Republic. Sorry, it still says Czech Republic there. Czechia. And I'm going to pick that one because Canada only got a 4-0 win against Switzerland, and they need to really start piling on the offense. I think they will. Also, Czechia's not a terrible team, too. Like, they could put maybe one or two in the net, as we saw. Even, like, Japan was able to get on the board against the United States. So you got U.S., Switzerland at 11. You've got Germany, Finland at 3. Canada's got the nighttime game. Canada, Czechia, I'm going to go over 6.5 for my Wake and Rake submission. And if I don't hit that, that'll be the last one of the weekend for me, so... of the tournament for you. So I'm going
this is
redemption narrative for Ailish.
It's all on the line right now?
Yep.
Okay.
You heard it here first.
Or we just switch to unders.
No. If I don't hit this Women's World's pick, then the luck has run dry and it's time to move off.
Okay. All right. Jays and Angels tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Jays in
late
Anaheim
tonight.
This weekend. It's the back end, the rotation. Chris Bassett's going to be on the mound. Then we'll see Jose Berríos and Yusei Kikuchi. Any thoughts on the Jays weekend in terms of betting?
Yeah, I think you are going to nail your pick here because it's a trip out west. It's Bassett on the mound. It's a little bit of a turnaround here and a late game in terms of our time zone. I'm just not feeling like the Jays are 4 wins in a row right now. I think 3 is pretty good turnaround, but I don't know what we're getting from Chris Bassett. So
I am going to leave the door open for the Blue Jays to win the game because hopefully they can do that. But I got a feeling the first 5 innings, they're going to dig a bit of a hole. I don't know what we're going to see out of Chris Bassett. I don't think he's just going to snap his fingers and turn this thing around. Patrick Sandoval's on the bump for the LA Angels. He was pitching very, very well for Mexico, as John Morosi mentioned, in the 7 o'clock hour. I think on the 5 inning line, I lean the Angels -125 tonight. Hopefully that cashes for Wake and Rake purposes. And then the Blue Jays mount a comeback when the bullpens do battle late in the game. I just think it's a little hopeful to suggest that Chris Bassett will have everything sorted out and he's going up against a guy who's battle tested. So I'm going to take for my official Wake and Rake play the Angels on the 5-inning run line -125.
Okay, we do have a couple Wake and Rake submissions from the Blue Jays as well. We'll go through a couple of those because I saw one that similar to you here. Brett in Toronto says, first time Wake and Rake participant. I'm going with Angels first inning winner +220. Ain't no way Bassett hasn't figured it out yet. That's Brett from Toronto.
There you go. Okay.
So yeah, similar kind of storyline for you.
That's a little juicier. Yeah. It means that Chris Bassett can't even have a profitable start. I'm going to give myself the safety net of 5 innings, but yeah,
Brett has
like
the same
as well.
Idea as you. Jason in Kingston says, Brandon Belt +550 to hit a home run. Just $5 he's due. That would be great because Brandon Belt needs to make a splash here for the Blue Jays. So maybe
I might need +1,000 to go with that right now. He just looks lost.
Well, I like it just $5. That might not be where I go. Scott from Bowmanville. Vladdy Jr. over 1.5 hits at +215. He's hot right now. Love the invisible jacket home run celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got some more love for Vladdy. I mean,
one more in there for Vladdy. +450 to home run tonight.
Nice.
For a home run tonight. That's Jack from Milton.
Okay, so lots of love for Vladdy, deservingly so. Not as much love for Chris Bassett, deservingly so. And a hopeful Brandon Belt push here. Two more up in the text line here.
We glossed over the Raptors and Celtics a little bit. The Raptors are, I mean, it's a pretty tight spread. It's only, I think, 2.5 for the Boston Celtics tonight. This text has Fred VanVleet going over 19.5 points, a little bit of a bounce back after a brutal performance last time out. I feel like the Celtics, like, again, it's like, okay, you look at all these lineups, all these lines, they're all a little strange. That one feels strange just because it feels short to me. Like, why wouldn't the Celtics be bigger favorites tonight?
They already load managed on Wednesday.
They just sat their guys. I mean, maybe they don't have any excuse to really play them or go straight to the bench. But if I'm playing that game, you gotta lean Celtics. But again, I just don't think I'm touching anything NBA-wise until the playoffs start because it seems like we're just running into a bunch of fake games at this point.
UFC one?
UFC one text, Rojas Jr. to beat Christian Rodriguez by KO, TKO or submission +125. So that's inside the distance. And it's his second UFC bout. 18, star in the making. Wow. 18-year-olds in fighting the UFC. That's a bit aggressive. He must be pretty talented.
Okay. That's Victor from Penetang. Last one here. Andy in Beamsville says Orlando getting 12.5 against Brooklyn tonight. Okay. So let's pick one for our anchor. Justin, where are you feeling? Because I picked yesterday's and I blew it. So letting you go for it.
I think we should go with Fred VanVleet over 19.5 points.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. It was a tough night for him, obviously. Does that mean immediate positive regression? Not necessarily. But I feel like Fred hasn't let it linger in the last couple of months like he did early in the season where he was stacking together poor games.
That's a good point.
I feel like he'll be a little bit more motivated to get things going. If Boston does play a lesser lineup, I guess it puts him in a position to cash in a little bit more easy. But I don't know what the Raptors' intentions are either, so I'm not quite sure how to approach it at any level. But I think Fred will want to have a bounce back. So if we're looking at a motivational element, Freddy to go over his point total at 19.5 seems like the best bet we have.
Okay, I'll lock it in. So we've got a 2 Toronto sports and a 1 Team Canada parlay. I love this. Canada and Czechia over 6.5 tonight. Blue Jays and Angels. Angels on the first 5-inning money line. And Raptors and Celtics are going to go Fred VanVleet over 19.5 points. When you parlay that together, it's plus 524. Lock that in. We've got Masters picks we've given. I've got a little bit of a look ahead at the weekend. Frozen Four, just a quick one for you. Minnesota, our guy, minus 177 on the money line to win the national championship.
The Nye's parlay is Minnesota and Toronto to win on Saturday night.
Love
get
that.
A little plus money on that.
Absolutely love that. I'm going to tomorrow's game as a fan for the first time all season long.
There you go.
Not working, just going to sit my butt in the seats and cheer loud, have a couple pints.
Excited for that. That'll be fun.
It's going to be a great weekend.
I was thinking about going, but I got to get a media pass and it's probably too late.
You never think ahead, do you?
Rarely.
Oh, well. Hope everybody has a nice Easter weekend as well. For those of you that were up listening live, thanks for that. For those of you that catch us on the podcast, hope you have a good, enjoyable, restful day and weekend. And we'll be back Monday morning. And go Gary Woodland.